Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Madhava Kunjabi Gopi Jana Bhala Bha Giri Varadhari Gopi Jana Bhala Bha Giri Varadhari Gopi Jana Bhala Bha Giri Varadhari Giribada Dadi Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vana Chari Jamuna Tira Vana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Bala Bha Giri Varadhari Giri Varadhari Gopi Jana Bala Bha Giri Varadhari Giri Varadhari Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vana Chari Jamuna Tira Vana Chari Vana Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Hari Vidakachara Jastatara His divine grace, Sri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Samvita Bhaktavarinda ki, Tai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading this morning, text 49, Canto 6, Chapter 9.
And this is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Naveda Kripana Shreya Atmano Guna Vastu Drik Tashyatan Ichato Yachchid Yadiso Pitata Vidaha Naveda Kripana Shreya Atmano Guna Vastu Drik Tashyatan Ichato Yachchid Yadiso Pitata Vidaha. Atmano Gunavastu Drik Dashatan Ichato Yachchid Yadi So Pitata Vidaha. Naveda Kripana Shreya Atmano Guna Vastu Drik Tashyatan Ladies Naveda Kripana Shreya Atmano guna vastu drik Tashyatan ichato yachchid Yadi so pitata vidaha Naveda kripana shriya Atmano guna vastu drik Yadiso pitata vidaha Naveda kripana shriya Atmano guna vastu drik Na not Veda knows Kripanaha, a miserly living entity. Shreyaha, the ultimate necessity. Atmanaha, of the soul. Guna Vastu Drik, who is attracted by the creation of the modes of material nature. Tasya of him. Tan, things created by the material energy. Ichati, ichataha, desiring. Yachchet, one bestows. Yadi, if. Sa api, he also. Tata vidaha of the kind or a foolish kripana who does not know the real his real self-interest. Translation: those who think material assets to be everything or to be the ultimate goal of life are called misers, kripanas. They do not know the ultimate necessity of the soul. Moreover, if one awards that which is desired by such fools, he must also be considered foolish. This is a challenge to if you want to be Krishna. People ask you for things, and you don't give them those things, and they go away. He didn't give me those things. What to do? Purport. There are two classes of men, namely the Kripana and the Brahmana. A Brahmana is one who knows Brahman, the absolute truth, and who thus knows his real interest. A Kripana, however, is one who has material, bodily concept of life, not knowing how to utilize his human or demigod life. A Kripana is attracted by things created by the material modes of nature. The Kripanas who always desire material benefits are foolish. Whereas Brahmanas, who always desire spiritual benefits, are intelligent. If a Kripana, not knowing his self-interest, foolishly asks something material, one who awards it to him is also foolish. Krishna, however, is not a foolish person. He is supremely intelligent. If someone comes to Krishna asking for material benefits, Krishna does not award him the material things he desires. Instead, the Lord gives him intelligence so that he will forget his material desires and become attached to the Lord's lotus feet. In such cases, although the Kripana offers prayers to Lord Krishna for material things, the Lord takes away whatever material possessions the Kripana has and gives him the sense to become a devotee, as stated by the Lord in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22:39. Ami vigya e murke vishaya kena diba swacharanamrita diya vishaya bhulaibha. Translation. Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. Which is one of the reasons why people don't like to go to Krishna, because he takes away that material enjoyment propensity and the enjoyment. They like that. So, if one sincerely prays to God for material possessions in exchange for devotional service, the Lord, who is not foolish, like such an unintelligent devotee, shows him special favor by taking away whatever material possessions he has and gradually giving him the intelligence to be satisfied only by rendering service to his lotus feet. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments in this regard that if a foolish child requests his mother to give him poison, the mother, being intelligent, certainly does not give him poison, even though he requests it. Very common sense. A materialist does not know that to accept material possessions means to accept poison, or the repetition of birth and death. An intelligent person, a Brahmana, aspires for liberation from material bondage. This is the real self-interest of a human being. So this is part 2 of 3, starting from yesterday's verse, where Lord Vishnu, hearing the prayers of the demigods, elevated prayers, he's, in the verse prior to that, honored the nature of their prayer, having recognized the Lord's transcendental position. They've offered him suitable prayers, knowing that he's in the transcendental position, knowing that he's the bestower of, he's the source of everything, and one of the everythings they want is get rid of Vritrasura, please. Fulfillment of a material desire. And, I mean, if you saw Vritrasura, you probably would ask Krishna, please help, get rid of this Vritrasura. Really big. terrible, ferocious entity, aiming at destroying you. So, this is lesson 2 of 3. Tomorrow is the same message, essentially, on Paradharma and in one sense, one way to describe what's happening here is the Lord is disclosing his mind. I mean, that's very confidential, isn't it? Like, what does the Supreme Lord feel? What does the Supreme Lord think? What is his desire? Very confidential. You know, like, you know, people ask, some thoughtful people ask, how do we know what Krishna wants? Well, read Srimad Bhagavatam and you can know what Krishna wants. I mean, there's other ways to know, but that's certainly a suitable way to know. And he's disclosing what he wants. He wants that persons understanding his transcendental position, because they're elevated, they're specially, these aren't just like residents of heaven, these are heads of heavenly region, you know, like as we were discussing. Most religion, you know, speaking generically, most religion has this idea of attaining heaven as like, that's the carrot, that's the goal. There's varieties, but that's generic, whatever their conception of heaven is, that's the aspiration from doing what I do here to go there. It's material. It's elevated material, but it's material. A comma, what is the, not that verse. The mind becomes disturbed. Tivrena, no, that's not the verse. It's those who aspire for, oh, there you go. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashanta. Bhukti, sense gratification. Mukti, liberation. Siddhi, mystic powers. Sakale ashanta, that's the opposite of peaceful. It's not peaceful. That means the mind is agitated. Peaceful is the mind is not agitated. And not peaceful is, we know what that is. The mind is agitated. Ashanta. So the demigods are ashanta. It's again and again, you know, the Ferris wheel. Oh, now I'm very happy. Oh, now I'm very sad. Oh, now I'm very happy. Now I'm very sad. And they go to Lord Vishnu who makes them happy, and then they do some, due to attachment, something foolish, and then they're in a desperate state, and so like and on and on. And we do the same thing. Unless this transcendental position of pure devotional service is accepted. I mean, there's the options. Bhukti, mukti, or siddhi, and those are like categories. And there's enormous numbers of subcategories under those categories. So anyway, this is addressing the bhukti folks, those that approach God for something material. And the verse is speaking of those folks as kripanas. And it's, having listened to Prabhupada's lectures a lot, he liked to speak about this, Brahmana and Kripana, and you know the advocacy obviously was Brahmana. You know, higher than Brahmana is Vaishnava, but making just on that plane, because the sound vibration is similar. Kripana, attached to Guna Vastu Drik. Guna, we know. Vastu means stuff or things. Drik, the creations of the modes of nature. Temporary. Now you see it, now you don't. Oh, I want one of those. And ambitions and things focus around getting one of those. And as Prabhupada would say, this is going on. So such persons, na atmano, they don't know the shreya atmano. They don't know, so not knowing, it's default. It's either or, you know, one or a zero. Either I know what the well-being of the soul is, or I don't. And if I don't, then I want that which isn't the well-being of the soul. Brahmana or Kripana? The one or the zero. That's the mind. I was appreciating, as I usually do, appreciating Jai Jagannath's thoughtful contemplation. So I wanted to speak and respond a bit to that. You know, what do you do when the mind dictates something? And so he wanted verification. You put a pause on that, like you tolerate it. And then instead you activate the intelligence. The intelligence means specifically spiritual intelligence. And spiritual intelligence is buddhi. And buddhi, we know from Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, buddhi is yena mam upiyanti te. It's how you can come to Krishna. So how do you can come to Krishna in this field of the material energy where we're attracted to the material energy? You know, we have our variety, and it's you know, a little different than another person's variety. We all have ours and know where to get from here to there. Now what do you do? One of the first instructions in Bhagavad Gita is you tolerate that pushing. It's a pushing. It's a attraction repulsion pushing as part of the feature of duality. I'm attracted to this and I don't like that. Now what are you supposed to do? Tolerate it. Withdraw consciousness from the duality program that is perceived by the mind. As a result of senses contacting sense objects, I like this, I don't like that, I'm attracted to this, I'm repulsed by that. That's a perverted reflection of the spiritual reality. Spiritual reality is attracted to Krishna. That's intelligence. So where do we get that intelligence? From Krishna. The Dhammi, Buddhi Yogam Tam. Krishna gives. And who does he give it to? Tesham Satata Yuktanam Vajitam Priti Purvakam. I wanted to read. I've got a few books here. One of them is Canto 1, Chapter 3, the last verse. Those of you that attended the Labor Day weekend retreat, Rabindra Saru Prabhu referred to this purport of the last verse. And it's nice. It's speaking about, basically starting about sadhana bhakti, and in a very nice way, how sadhana bhakti helps purify the senses so that the mind can become purified, so that the mind can properly contemplate transcendence. But all of that requires bhakti, and bhakti begins with a little faith. So like we, you know, enough faith to follow the regulations. Although I don't have a taste for it, I follow the regulations because I have some faith in the process of bhakti and the persons who are delivering the process of bhakti. And, you know, ultimately, faith in Krishna, the goal. So I follow sadhana bhakti to purify the senses. And there's an outcome. You know, the religiousness of following the strictures of different religions have theirs. So the essence of religion is not the strictures, you know, the rituals or the belief systems and all those things, or the behaviors. I've said this so many times. We're not the International Society for Behavior Modification Incorporated. We're the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So the behavior modifications that we accept, or the sadhana bhakti that we accept, has a purpose. It's driven by some faith towards a purpose or a goal. What's the goal? Awaken our love for Krishna. And when that love for Krishna awakens, we willingly, spontaneously, eventually according to there's one of the nice verses of Sri Brahma Samhita's text 36, where when that spontaneous stage comes, we get an inkling of our personal relationship with the personality of Godhead, and the all of the details gradually unfold just through the process of bhakti itself. Or if you recall from that presentation I made just before going to Gitanagri and then again in Gitanagri, this Dibya Gyan, Hriday Prakashito, what does Dibya Gyan mean? Because we sing every day. Spiritual master is honored because he imparts Dibya Gyan. What's that? It's these. There's two elements. An understanding of our relationship with Krishna. And who is Krishna? You know, us and Krishna. Then begin. And progressively it unfolds, as it's stated in this purport. Progressively it unfolds. But we're not going to get there if we don't do the vidhis of vaidhi sadhana bhakti. Let's just read the end of the purport. The secret of the Bhagavatam is knowing, the secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Sri Krishna in person, in the pages of Bhagavatam. So now, back to the Bhagavatam verse for this morning. The Supreme Lord is giving instructions. As we heard yesterday, he's lamenting. He's revealing his unhappiness, or somewhat unhappiness, that the demigods, they know, but they're still clinging, like us. They know transcendence, but they're clinging to temporal. So now it's this verse is such a position as Kripana. And one who awards those material things, the verse says, Yadi so pi tata vidha. Tata vidha. Well, that person is also a Kripana. Tata vidha. And Krishna is not a Kripana. He's not going to, throw a tantrum. Krishna's not going to. He's not a Kripana. He knows better. So this is indicating something about our relationship with Krishna. And it's giving some indication of Krishna's nature and what Krishna feels when we throw a tantrum or pray for something that's going to further entangle us. Like the example in the purport of the child asking the mother for poison. Is the mother going to give the child poison because the child wants poison? I mean, a loving mother is certainly not going to do that. So to support that statement or that feeling of the Supreme Lord, that transcendental loving nature of the Supreme Lord, when someone approaches him for something material, like, what's he to do? So the quote, one quote is given where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressing exactly that. You know, how does he, the Supreme Lord, respond? How does he process that prayer? Isn't that like intimate and confidential? So it comes, I'm going to read a little bit. It's from the section, The Process of Devotional Service. Lord Chaitanya is instructing Sanatana Goswami about the process of devotional service. Then in turn, Sanatana Goswami writes Brihad Bhagavatamrita to help us understand what he understood from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in a really beautiful way. But here's the teaching. I'll start with text 31 from chapter 22, and we're going to go over to this verse. Text 40. So 31 to 40. It starts with the Krishna Surya Sama. You know this one. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar. Prabhupada said, this is the verse from which the Back to Godhead name came from. Krishna Surya Sama. Back to Godhead. Krishna is compared to sunshine and Maya is compared to darkness. Wherever there is sunshine, there cannot be darkness. As soon as one takes to Krishna consciousness, the darkness of illusion or the influence of the external energy will immediately vanish. Go to Krishna, there's no darkness. Go away from Krishna, there's darkness. So back to Godhead. Godhead is light, nescience, darkness. That's underneath the banner. That's the message. Next verse is restating the same in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words. Quote, the external illusory energy of Krishna, known as Maya, is always ashamed to stand in front of Krishna, just as darkness is ashamed to remain before the sunshine. However, that Maya bewilders unfortunate people who have no intelligence. It was so intelligence as you go to Krishna. No intelligence as you don't go to Krishna. If you don't go to Krishna and you have no intelligence, what do you go to? Temporary. Products of the modes of nature. The verse from this morning. Thus they simply boast that this material world is theirs. And they are its enjoyers. Of course, you know, little pieces of the world is mine and I'm the enjoyer of it. And I'm trying to expand that piece to a bigger piece and be bigger and better enjoyer. Demoniac Nature, chapter, Bhagavad Gita. Then, Krishna Tomar Hana, one is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, quote, my dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service. And then next is a quote from Ramayana, where Ram says, when Vibhishan comes and he's seeking Ram's shelter, and there's this whole discussion about whether to trust him or not. And then Ram declares, it is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders to me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours, and prays to me for courage, you know, like to fulfill that, I shall immediately award courage to that person. And he will always remain safe from that time on. The living entity desires material happiness, liberation. This is this Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami. Subhudi Yadi Haya. or he engages in mystic yoga. If such a person actually becomes intelligent, he takes to Krishna consciousness by engaging himself in intense devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna. So, the default, not Krishna, you have three varieties. And then, you know, divisions, subdivisions beneath those three varieties. And then comes the next verse. Akama, sarvakamova. We all know the verse. Moksha kama udar tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham. So whether it's one of those three, all desires, no desires, wanting liberation, he is intelligent only. Intelligent only. Intelligence. If he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. This translation is different than what you'll find in Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 10. It's suited for the subject or the conversation here. He is intelligent, so that there's the mind, then there's the intelligence. And spiritual intelligence says, take shelter of Krishna. He is intelligent who does that. Whether it's one of these three, it's like, you know, it's managing our defects. Like, you know, and the mind that carries an inclination towards, attraction, repulsion towards this kind of defect, repulsion towards another kind of defect. You know, we're all broken. We're all defective. Anybody not broken here? So we're all, in some fashion or another, broken. So what to do? Be intelligent. What's that? Devotional service to Krishna. But I'm broken. Well, we're all broken. Take this wonderful mercy. What's that? The process of devotional service. Well, it starts with sadhana and then it, you know, unfolds. Cleanse the mind. And then awaken, so as that, all of that, from the faith begins the process, they accept enough faith to follow the sadhana, and then faith grows and grows and grows. It's bhakti starting from the seed of faith up to the stage of prema, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That's what prema is. It's a mature stage of faith. It's bhakti in its matured stage. Comparable statements. So almost done with his Chaitanya Charitamrita reference. Here, so it's Sanatan Goswami being instructed by Lord Chaitanya about devotional service to go from the mixed to the unmixed, same as what's happening here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, if those who desire material enjoyment, like the demigods are praying, or merging into the existence of the absolute truth, engage in the Lord's transcendental loving service, they will immediately attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, although they did not ask for it. Krishna is therefore very merciful. Krishna says, Text 38. If one engages in my transcendental loving service, but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, this morning's text, he is very, very foolish. Indeed, he is just like the person who gives up ambrosia to drink poison. Text 39. Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. And then comes the verse that we find in the purport here. That was the verse that was quoted, is the one I just recited. Now comes the next verse. This is text 40. Whenever Krishna is requested to fulfill one's desires, This is a Bhagavatam quote. 519, it says 26, but it's actually 27. 519:27. This is like, you know, the description of the cosmic manifestation in the fifth canto. This is cosmology, and residents in higher planets are appreciating what kind of a Lord is Krishna. He's the best. Whenever Krishna is requested to fulfill one's desires, he undoubtedly does so, but he does not award anything which, after having been enjoyed, will cause someone to petition him again and again to fulfill further desires. When one has other desires, but engages in the Lord's service, that's like us, all of us, you know, because we're mixed, and the demigods mixed. Krishna forcibly gives one shelter at his lotus feet, where one will forget all other desires. Now, this section where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatan Goswami, it's preceded by discussion of Varnashram and then discussion of impersonal contemplation on Brahman. And then it moves into the bhakti position, you know, the siddhi, bhakti, mukti, siddhi. And then it moves into devotional service. So when Krishna becomes focused upon, even when has those, Krishna starts doing his magic. And here's the translation from the Srimad Bhagavatam of that very same verse that I just read. It's altogether different. This is the island of Jambudweep, and the residents of Jambudweep, they have material desires. So they worship demigods according to Vedic injunction. So it's demigod worship. And here's how Prabhupada has translated it here. The Supreme Personality of God, it fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches him with such motives, but he does not bestow benedictions upon the devotee that will cause him to demand more benedictions again. So this is the Lord's, how he does with his devotees. That's us. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his own lotus feet, even though such a person does not aspire for it because they really want the material benedictions. It's not like they want his lotus feet. He's very kind. He gives his lotus feet anyway, which dismisses or dispels the material motivation part. And that shelter satisfies all his desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. So, devotees, there's hope for us. And the hope for us is Krishna is very kind. We're in this, you know, foolish category. It's not like, you know, finger-pointing, blaming. It's just the nature of things. It's the nature of conditioned souls. And I spent a little time with, because I was asked to do this at some place recently, discuss about fault finding. Of course, devotees here don't do fault finding, but a little quick one. In a morning walk in Mayapur, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, maybe it was a room conversation, was asking Prabhupada, can you please make a distinction, clarify the distinction between calling a spade, fault finding, and blasphemy? It's very educational, so I'll do it quick. Prabhupada chose the first one first. He said, calling a spade. When I say to you, Tamal Krishna, what kind of big man are you? You are but a fig. That's calling a spade. And in short, we're insignificant. How significant are we in the big picture of things? In short, quite insignificant. That's not blasphemy. It's not fault-finding. It's just reality. We're very tiny, literally insignificant. A little Prabhupada anecdote. Famous during Prabhupada's time, there was one devotee that came to a long distance to see Prabhupada, and he wanted to express humility. Only he did it in a kind of excessive way. Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. I am so degraded, and you know, I'm worse than Jagai and Madhai, and you know, and on and on. And Prabhupada listened, and then his reply was, "You are not the most anything. You are literally insignificant." And that's, you know, from the spiritual master to his disciple. It's as Timal Krishnaraj was told, because, you know, he was a controller type. And he was good at what he did. Insignificant. Empowerment is significant, but the living entity is insignificant. So that's the spade of spade. And then, what is fault-finding? We've discussed this here, like more than one time, I recall. This adosha darshi phrase. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita in relation to Haridas Pandit. Haridas Pandit is a disciple of Ananta Acharya, who is a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, and it's Krishnadas Kaviraj going to the various senior Vaishnavas in Vrindavan at the time, seeking their blessings to write Chaitanya Charitamrita rather than just, like, you know, thinking I'm the doer. He was wishing to become the carrier of their blessings and the instrument of the wishes of the Vaishnavas and like that. And he went to Haridas Pandit, and Haridas Pandit had this quality of adosha darshi. He would never see the faults in others. In fact, people wouldn't even come near him that had a fault-finding mentality, because he just wouldn't hear it. He's just like, you know, where there's sunshine, there's no darkness. They wouldn't even come to him with that. He just, so in the purport, Prabhupada explains, adosha darshi means, like, you know, darshan, one can see. And dosha means fault. And adosha darshi means one doesn't see fault. And then Prabhupada explains, he gives this phrase in Sanskrit that means, in this world, everything has qualities and faults. So it's not like Haridas Pandit or such a person of his caliber can't see. They're blind. They can see qualities and faults. But they overlook the faults and magnify the qualities. They magnify the light. They encourage the devotion and positive spirit of devotion, thus eclipsing the fault or diminishing the influence of the fault. Now, specifically, it is part of the duty of a instructor or a spiritual master or one who is in that position, Prabhupada is, this is elsewhere, not in that purport, to correct. We all need correction. And when that relationship is there, then correction can come. And otherwise, it shouldn't come. Otherwise, it shouldn't come. Because if it comes, then it's of the nature of fault-finding. Even where there is fault, look it, there's the fault. Look it, there's the fault. Just like Ramchandra Puri, his business was fault-finding. That was his enterprise. And Prabhupada, in that purport, uses the example of flies and bees. The nature of flies is they go for sores, and the nature of bees is they go for honey. And a Vaishnava is one who goes for honey. They're bee-like. It doesn't mean they can't see there's a sore, but they're not attracted to it. They don't dwell on it, contemplate, meditate upon it, and make it their enterprise. of identifying there's a fault. They recognize, but they don't dwell on it. So, and then blasphemy, Prabhupada explains, is where there is no fault and they find fault anyways. So, sadhu-ninda, that's blasphemy. It's stronger, more excessive than fault-finding. And, you know, the verse that pertains to this is 9:30 Bhagavad Gita. Even there may be, so that the criterion should be undivided devotional service. Apichet sudara charo bhajate mam ananya bhak. This ananya bhak, it's a description, ekanta matir nanyan, where the mind or consciousness is singular. And there's nothing else. And that's whose mind is exclusively fixed upon me. But that's our aspiration. And those who are by nature like that, to criticize such a person, that's blasphemy, that's sadhu-ninda, that's an offense against the holy name. And there may be something. And to focus upon that something and make, you know, bring one's attention to that something instead of to the ananya bhak or ekanta matir nanyat, that's Vaishnava aparad. So, this is very instructive, and very meaning. It's very practical. A devotee wishes to know what Krishna wants and to try to fulfill what Krishna wants. That's love. The object of love, Vishaya, is the interest of the one who's carrying love for the beloved. So we are to encourage to cultivate that. Well, we're not there yet, but we're to cultivate that. And how do you cultivate that? Well, you hear instructions and you take those instructions to heart. And then the instructions will cleanse the heart. That the lower propensities become replaced by higher propensities. And when we recognize, as mentioned yesterday, the lower propensities, well, two things. As Jai Jagannath was indicating, it's right here in the purport, let the intelligence be operative instead. My mind may be, due to my conditioning, attracted to something. I want something. This Kripana thing. You know, affinity to those things that are the products of the modes of nature. And it doesn't just have to be gross things, it can be subtle things too. Like, I like being appreciated. I like being praised. And if I don't get praised, well, you know, it's human after all. I want people to recognize and you know, a little bit, please. And we feel a little, whatever, underappreciated or something like that, you know. So that pushing may be there, whatever the variety is that's our favorite. The pushing may be there and you neglect it. This is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instructions about how to deal with the mind. One of two things, you beat it or you neglect it. So neglect it, exactly what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, tolerate it. Don't invest consciousness in it. Instead, what? Invest consciousness in what does Krishna want? And when you do that, Krishna gives the intelligence and the mind becomes then released from that, at least progressively, the preoccupation with what I want and what I like and what I don't like. the preoccupation with that is released. And instead, the mind follows the intelligence. Yay! And the intelligence wants to go to Krishna. So how to, then you, the contemplation is how to best go to Krishna. How to best serve Krishna in this or that or the other circumstance. Then our mind becomes our best friend. So what's the locomotive? What's the, that locomotive that pulls the train? What's the, it's bhakti. And with bhakti, Krishna gives intelligence, and then the mind can follow the intelligence. But it's, you know, it's, there's some preliminary things that help us get there. So depending upon the position that we're in, we act accordingly with, you know, the long-term goal in mind and recognizing this position of faith in transcendence and the objective of life to come to loving service to Krishna and the resources that Krishna has provided me to help me get there, and let me take shelter of them. And I may be, the way that Rabindra Sarup put it, I really liked his classes in Gita Nagari. He put his hands out like this. I think of it in a different way, but it's similar. What's important is not whether you're here or over here. What's important is that you're moving wherever you may be, and that, you know, that's like a linear thing. What's important is that you're moving. It's very similar to the whole retreat theme that we had over Memorial Weekend, acceptance and progress. Accept where you are. Don't lament, I'm here. You accept where you are and you move. Appropriate for your position, and you're moving. And that means, so his this one was in relation to following. Following. It was the Guru Tattva was a topic, but you know, Prabhupada was the perfect follower of Bhaktisiddhanta. Perfect follower of Bhaktisiddhanta. We're not perfect followers. We can't imitate the perfect follower, but we can follow the perfect follower and progress. He's our founder, Acharya. We see his example, study his example, and become inspired by his example, become grateful for all the resources that he's given, despite our insignificance, our literal insignificance. Somehow this mercy has come. Receive it gratefully and move. So a way that I like to say it, same thing but just stated differently, is what's important in the life of a devotee is not where they are, I use this other, where they are on their trajectory of spiritual life, but they're making progress. And to make progress, one must be acting in their relationship with Guru and Krishna. And then whenever you're here or there, and even sometimes there may be some backsliding, you know, some up and down, the sine curve program. Act in the relationship, wherever you are. And this is a little bit of the response to the question that Himanghi's been asking three times. Just stay in that relationship, whether it's up and down and challenging and, you know, whoa, it's overwhelming. And stay in that relationship, act in that relationship, and the support is there. There's purification. Krishna may be taking away attachments. He's very kind. And, you know, we're attached to our attachments and we're feeling yikes, etc. Or whatever it is. That which is not a product of the modes of nature is that relationship, depending upon our sincerity of wishing to have that relationship. That's what it's all about. It's our relation, ultimately, our relationship with Krishna. I was thinking during Mangalarti this morning, this phrase, Sakshad Hari Twaina. Rabindranath Tagore, again, like, brilliant. It's not that the spiritual master is to be accepted as Krishna. That means Sakshad Hari. That's a big boo-boo. It's Sakshad Hari Tvena. Like. It's representative of. That's how Sakshad Hari Tvena Samastashat. All scriptures say that's how those who are guiding us are to be accepted. Tvena. Sakshad Hari Tvena. So those relationships are similarly extremely important. Vital. And you act in those relationships, and you know, the sine curve and the kripana and the, you know, the delusion, and that's our shelter. That's the essence of the mercy that's come into our life, and we take it. Take shelter faithfully. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yeah. I wish Jai Jagannath was here because this was like his question from yesterday.
Thank you, Mara. I'm hoping you can speak a bit more about what spontaneous devotional service
spontaneous is. Spontaneous devotional service.
In particular, I'm wondering if I spontaneously want to offer some service at temple or serve a particular devotee, is this spontaneous devotional service, or am I incapable of it as a conditioned soul?
It's a different category. The meaning of spontaneous devotional service has to do with qualification, not I want to do something. Now, a very, very liberal definition or application of the term spontaneous is what you said. That's really liberal. And it's okay. I want to go to the temple. I'm Bhakta so-and-so, and I desire to go to the temple. Is that, you know, I desire to go to the temple, and I desire to something, you know, put some money in the hundi box, or a desire to get to serve out prasadam at the Sunday feast. No one told me to do it, but I want to do that service. So a very expanded application of spontaneous devotional service is that. And there's another way of defining what spontaneous devotional service is more conservative, where the regulations, according to scripture, the regulations of devotional service, I don't require following anymore. I may follow them for the purpose of setting an example for others, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would do, or his associates. Spontaneous devotional service doesn't require, we require the vittis. So that's far more conservative. And then, you know, there's in between. So that which is arising from the soul proper. It's a little bit like the purport that I read. You can look it up later. 1344, last verse of chapter 3, canto 1, where somehow or other, I'll read it again. Somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person at the very beginning, which is what you're describing, at the very beginning one can assuredly see Lord Sri Krishna in person, in the pages of the Bhagavatam. You know, okay. There it is. There's scriptural evidence. Prabhupada said, in the very you can see Krishna in the pages of the Bhagavatam. With his arm around Balaram and dancing with the, you can see in the pages of the Bhagavatam, somehow or other. There's generally some preliminary things before that happens. That address your question? Okay. Jitendra's got something.
You were referring to Ravinda Sarup with his arms stretched out.
Yeah.
And I remember Srila Prabhupada saying something in regards to the same thing. He said, these Americans, they're this far away from Krishna, but they're coming closer. And not to offend any of the Indian...
We're not judging anybody in the room here.
It's just subjective. And he said that the Indians are this close to Krishna, but they're moving away. Another thing is that verse you said that one who is not pure in his actions cannot be pure. You know, what was the number on that? And would you want
the verse number?
Yeah.
Text 44, chapter 3. It's the last purport, last verse of chapter 3.
344.
1344.
Oh, 1344.
1344.
Okay. That's always a good one to reflect on.
It's a good one.
Thank you.
Amongst many good ones. Yes, hey, Mangi. Say it again.
Sticking to the theme of questions that I've been asking you about relationship with Krishna and staying put in that relationship while the sine curve is happening.
Yeah.
But sometimes I've noticed that nothing is working for devotees. Like, you know, they're in a very deep situation where relationship with Krishna is not in the forefront. They kind of have lost faith in chanting, in hearing, almost like a stuck situation, but still they're somehow hanging in there. So,
but somehow what?
They're hanging in there.
They're hanging in there, okay.
So how can one help or assist for them to move from that very stuck situation, to even make them see that there is a relationship with Krishna, somehow have faith in that relationship?
This is one of the many challenges that as Vaishnavas we encounter. And there are a couple things that I can think of in that, you know, that dilemma is continue to extend friendship, not necessarily instruction, just friendship. Just friendship. You know, that the vernacular is be there for the person. You know, just extend friendship. No expectation. Just extend friendship. You're important to me. Because what has to happen is a person who's stuck, a little light has to go on that says, I don't want to be stuck. Part of being stuck is not wanting to remain stuck. Although they say, I don't want to remain stuck. It's they're holding on, therefore they want to remain stuck. So they have to want to get unstuck. That means so, then when the friendship is there, then they can ask, how do I get unstuck? You know, and it's a little bit like somebody that's, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur likens this to someone that has a fever. So they're very weak. They have no appetite. Even the very thing that will make them strong, they have no appetite. And even if they ate, they couldn't digest it. It'll aggravate the fever. So you can't give too much, even when they ask, because they don't have the strength. But staying with that person little by little, you know, like, use the phrase titrate. You know what titrate is? Yeah. So you titrate little by little on the strength of that relationship, little by little. And then similar, but a little different is ask them, what is it that gives you strength? What is it that makes you, helps you feel Krishna. Nothing. I'm just hanging in there, but nothing. Well, there has to be something, because otherwise you wouldn't continue hanging in there. So you don't like have to tell them or give them an inventory list. Well, you can do that. Is it this, this, this? Here's 50 things. Is it one of these 50 things? And then, you know, encourage that. Let's do that together as part of the friendship part, whatever that is. I like cooking. I like something. I like being alone. I like whatever it is. I like reading Krishna book. I like chanting japa together with somebody. Whatever it is. Okay, great. And just encourage that. I like dancing. I like drawing. I like being out in nature. Great. Go out in nature. And then this is another one just comes to mind. Somebody that's stuck, and a piece of advice they received recently was just, you know, step out of that box into something different. You know, do something. Like, you know, get a job or, you know, something. Go for a walk by the lake or, you know, something. Just, you know, get out of the box, that the four walls and something. So just, you know, the something other than stuck. Yeah, but my mind goes with me. Okay, take your mind with you. Just get out of those four walls and, you know, feeling stuck. I'll go with you. Let's go. Where do you want to go? Yes.
Thank you. Maharaj, I was thinking that we were speaking in the class that intelligence means...
I can't follow what you're saying. Speak slowly and clearly.
Yeah. Maharaj, I was...
Much better. Okay. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. So, when we are seeing our relationship with Guru and Krishna, like trying to act in our relationship with Guru and Krishna, how do we see the relationship with other devotees? Like, what is...
That's all part of the Guru and Krishna program. Krishna has sent so many... Exactly, Krishna. But Krishna has sent so many. Some are to assist me, some are to challenge me, some are to friends, some are, you know, showing me where my own attachments are, and so many, like, it's just fantastic. Krishna. They're all connected to Krishna. And there are opportunities for serving Krishna by serving the Vaishnavas. And there's this kind of service and that kind of service and the other kind of service. It's service. Opportunity. Serve the Vaishnavas. Is that nice?
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Yeah, sure.
Sometimes I've noticed that when we are doing some devotional service, the attention is to do the service, and even if there are devotees around us, it seems like we're not looking anywhere else but just trying to...
Okay, gotcha.
So is that, I'm not sure if that is proper behavior.
It's a good beginning. Okay. But then there, you know, there's a maturing stage as you go along, and I call it peripheral vision. Hey, there's some other people around here. Because those other people, they're doing the same thing I'm doing. They're serving Krishna's lotus feet. I'm doing this, and they're serving Krishna. So the spiritual world starts to open. There's so many. Ultimately, unlimited living entities serving Krishna's lotus. He's got big lotus feet. And I'm just this little tiny insignificant something doing so. But stay focused on the service, and then gradually the peripheral vision opens up. And what I'm doing is going to affect another person. You know, like and they're feeling encouraged as I wish to feel encouraged. And augment, you know, the same objective, pleasing Krishna. So I can start to appreciate, just see how they're pleasing Krishna by their service. It's not the same, but it's a little bit like being part of an orchestra. You ever play a musical instrument? No? You know people that have. So she has. So she plays violin, right? Violin. So she plays violin. She can just sit in a room and play violin. And then she sits here with, you know, the group, and you know, she's playing the violin, someone else is doing this and that and the other thing. And then there's this orchestra, this big cacophony of all kinds of instruments making this, you know, music. And then she goes back in a room and she practices her violin. So there's the singular and there's the plural and there's the, you know, the grand orchestra of devotees doing devotional service. It's fantastic. And it's not just, you know, the picture of pleasing Krishna is very enlivening when there's the, you know, the peripheral vision opens up. And then there's challenges because, you know, they're different than me and they like to do it this way and I like to do it that way. Like, you know, the presentation that Brajabihari presented, the liberal and conservative thing. And, you know, unity and diversity. There's diversity and it's how to maintain the unity. And so, but you know, that's part of maturing. The peripheral vision is part of maturing. It'll happen. You have to force it, it'll happen. You start noticing there's somebody next to me. Hey, it'll happen. And just maturity, it will grow. And you have your, you know, devotees guiding you and they'll help you look to the left and to the right a little bit. Anything else? Last question because of time.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, so here the demigods are offering amazing prayers to the Supreme Lord.
They're offering prayers.
Yeah. And the Supreme Lord, he is responding.
It's on, just a little closer, please.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry, yeah. And the Supreme Lord, he's responding to Indra and the demigods.
Yes.
And he's glorifying the position of pure devotional service. And then right now, this verse and the next verse, he's also sharing that although a child may ask for something, you know, an adult who is in knowledge, he will not give it to them. And then the next verse, immediately, he says to Indra, all glories to you. And he says, go to Dadichi.
Yeah. We discussed this yesterday.
So Maharaj, where I'm coming here is the important quality of malleability. As devotees, mixed devotees, we have some ideas. But as we are hearing from pure devotees, what is beneficial for us, like hitting the pause button and trying to become malleable.
I'm hearing about 60% of what you're saying, and it's. I'm sorry, but I'm giving you some feedback. I'm missing about 40% of what you're saying. And I think the detail is important. That's why I'm letting you know. I'm missing 40%.
Okay.
Hold it closer. And slowly and clearly, just pardon my defects.
No. try again.
I got the picture.
Yeah.
So now, what's the point?
So the point, Maharaj, is like so. As Lord Vishnu is speaking, so it seems that he's giving instructions to Indra.
He what?
He's giving instructions to Indra.
Yes. He's giving them.
Yeah.
Go the next step.
Right. And sometimes the Supreme Lord, he pauses to see what, you know, Indra may say. But here he says, then the next thing he immediately says, go to Dadishi and solve your problem.
Well, let me just interject something. Yeah. The conversation could very well have been longer.
Yeah.
We're getting, you know, snapshots. But the snapshot says, here's, I'm revealing my heart to you that unmixed devotional service is really the goal. Now I'm recognizing you're not there and you're appealing to me for something temporary. I've already indicated it's foolish.
Yeah.
And I'm not foolish. But I'm going to give you a means whereby, as we ended yesterday's class, at least some step or two in the direction of being freed from hankering for something temporary. A doable step. He's gauging their capacity and he's reciprocating to help take away affinity for the temporary. And that medium is association with the Dichi who has no attachment for the temporary. That's the way, in this case, how Lord Vishnu is helping them to be relieved of their affinity for the temporary. Does that address your question?
Yes, Maharaj. And one other question is this malleable to the instructions of the indications of Vaishnavas, being malleable instead of being rigid.
We should be? Is that what you're asking?
We
should be ready to mold ourselves according to instructions we receive.
Yes, Maharaj, yeah. So, what enhances malleability?
Trust and faith and love. Yeah. I'm looking at Prahlad. Prahlad's a young boy. And young boys like to have friends. And his friends, they're attracted to the temporary. He likes to have friends. But he knows, although, you know, what I wish for him and, you know, and the others too. And there's this pull towards both. So malleable is taking shelter of the higher ground. So based on what? What's that malleability, which is your question? It's faith and trust and love in the person and the relationship. And that helps one be malleable. I mean, let's put in another context. What Prabhupada did with the persons who Prabhupada gave his association to, they were malleable. Based on what? What was that malleability based upon? Same. Weakness was there. But whatever movement, first it was a behavior, but you know, behind the behavior was this profound affection. They were willing to do anything. Mission Impossible is not impossible. That's the malleability. In one word, faith. But, you know, faith based on what? You know, here's something genuine, and I'm not there, but I want that something genuine. I want that loving relationship. I think it was one of those documentaries that Yadubar did. I think it's Your Ever Well Wisher. Something that really struck me during one of those was an interview with a professor in a university in Pennsylvania. I can't even remember his name, professor something or other. Being interviewed saying, you know, I met these people. And one of them told me, sounds like it was Satsrup Maharaj. He said that Prabhupada asked him to edit or create a magazine, Back to Godhead magazine. And he asked him, do you know anything about magazines? He said, well, I've just read some, but Prabhupada said. So he was wondering how they can undertake, this is malleable, how they can undertake Mission Impossible. I was puzzled. And then when I went to New York and met the Swamiji, then I could understand. It's their faith and confidence and love in him. Anything he says becomes possible because he said it. And somehow Krishna will give me the ability to do what he said because he said it. You know, faith in the person and love for the person and attachment with the person. Was it done imperfectly and mistakes made and all kinds of things? Sure. But that's the malleability. Relationship. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Some service? Come here. This garland sheds a lot, so you can clean up. Okay.